The head evaporated into splinters of bone, gruel of blood and pulped eyes, and lacerated skin. The headless corpse remained upright for a supernatural moment or two, before the rocking of the rig sent it folding on top of the five bound prisoners.
Shit! Fire blasted shit!
There was confusion inside the wag, as the five prisoners found themselves with a blood-sodden body kicking and rolling all over them. It took several minutes for Knuckles to control the terrified horses. JB and Michael heaved out the decapitated trunk of Seidler and dumped it by the side of the track, leaving it for the scavengers of the forest to find. Ellie's body was tidied and laid on the ground, while they decided what to do with it. Doc dismounted and wandered off into the trees, where Ryan followed him. He discovered the old man sitting against the trunk of a massive live oak, his knees drawn up under his chin, his right hand still gripping the Lama. Doc heard Ryan's boots crunching toward him through the frozen mud and looked up, tears glistening on his lined cheeks.
My dear fellow.
No, Doc. Definitely not. I don't want to hear it.
I've sentenced Christy, Mildred, and the boy to death. Perhaps a fate that might prove worse than dying.
No choice.
I should have shot sooner.
None of us guessed that Seidler could get free. It's my fault more than yours.
Doc shook his head.
I appreciate your kind efforts to remove some part of the burden from my shoulders to yours, Ryan, but I fear that I really cannot allow that.
Look, the bastard chilled Ellie right in front of all of us. I'd have gunned him down if you hadn't gotten in first, Doc.
But what about our friends in Vistaville, Ryan? Our friends, our companions, our colleagues, our fellow travelers, our... Oh, by the three Kennedys, but I am so sorry.
We had a deal with Baron Nelson. Bring back Seidler with two of his son's butchers. Or bring back four of the others, alive. Well, we got five of them. We can just do it.
Doc stood shakily, accepting Ryan's hand.
You know that the lady and I, being a gentleman, I would never have mentioned it, of course. But in the light of what has transpired, I feel that it is no longer a betrayal of confidence. She and I were, briefly, but memorably, lovers.
No. Is that so, Doc? You sly old son of a bitch.
Not so old, Ryan. Yes, we were, and... You see, Ryan, you remember that I was once very close to little Laurie Quint. You recall the child?
Some child, Doc. She was taller than you.
And she died.
Everybody does, Doc.
I know. But she died quite horribly, before my eyes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Correct. Perhaps I am some sort of a jinx, a Jonah, a cursed creature.
No, Doc, just that we both live in Deathlands. If I started thinking about all the good friends I've lost, I'd never sleep. I'd go hang myself from the nearest tree, or eat my blaster.
I suppose that is so. But it was so appalling to see her throat open like... Someone once told me that if you choose to always look back, then you become as dead yourself.
So let's go on.
Bury her first, Ryan?
Time's tight, Doc.
Please.
The bedrock was close to the surface, and it was hard work to scrape out a shallow depression to lay the small corpse in. Diego had wrapped Ellie in a cloak of scarlet silk, gently covering her face. Doc insisted on carrying the body to the makeshift, hasty grave.
She's so light. Barely weighs a thing.
She was dying of bad cancer. We all knew it. Another 2 or 3 months was all they reckoned she got. I'm glad, sort of. She went quick and not in much pain.
They took turns to shovel in some of the cold earth, until the bright red material had vanished, then piled on heavy stones from a rough outcrop at the foot of the cliff to their left.
Better get moving. Time's passing. You check the rest of them, JB? Make sure nobody else gets free.
All secure. Trouble is, that baling wire won't hold forever. They keep working at it, and it'll weaken. Need keeping a good eye on until we reach the Ville.
Capistrano half lifted a hand, wishing to say a few words. Quickly. The horses were all tethered to the rear of the wag as the small group of men stood around the grave, all hatless, their breaths mingling, white in the moonlight.
Our revels now are ended. These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve and, like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. Forgive me, Ellie. Not very professional. Crying like this.
Ryan tried to angle the face of his watch to catch the time. They needed to be moving on as soon as possible. But Diego was nearly done. As Diego came to the ending of Prospero's great final speech, Doc Tanner joined him.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is ended with a sleep.
Good night, Ellie.
Within a few minutes of their leaving the burial site, the skies clouded from the east. The moon vanished, and the trail immediately became almost invisible. And it began to snow again, large wet flakes that clung to the face and drifted into open mouths, filling in the ruts in the track, making it impossible for Knuckles to try to steer a smooth course. The wag jolted and jarred, sending the five prisoners rolling and protesting from side to side and front to back. As a precaution, JB had let Michael ride his own horse, the burro trailing mournfully behind the rig, while he perched near the rear, his eyes never leaving the quintet of killers. Jim Jennison was nearest to JB. He had a deep purple bruise across his face that had almost closed his left eye. He lay awkwardly, his knees up, half on his side, his tight hands behind him.
You could help me sit up, brother.
I'm not your brother, Jennison.
Close enough.
Not true.
You don't talk much, do you, John? Like your father. Seems he wasn't much into speaking either.
You got something you really want to say to me, Jennison, then you best get to it. Time's near done for you.
Nelson'll torture us, John.
Sure.
You don't give a flying fuck, do you?
Nope.
Riding all those years with the traitor and that ice-hard Carter changed you. For the worse, brother.
You and the others slaughtered a little boy, Jennison.
Father's a triple bastard.
Doesn't matter. Not when you go out, six of you, grown, and butcher a child. Don't visit the sins of the father on the children. Talk's never gonna make it right.
Well, fuck you, brother. You're gonna be chilled real soon.
Doc had ridden in close and heard the end of the conversation.
I vow it's truth, you say. I may die tomorrow, but you will die today. I doubt that I got that quote just right, but it's near enough for scum like you, Jennison.
The snow grew worse, and their progress grew slower. Ryan walked his skew ball ahead, trying to break trail and make it easier for the wag. When he finally managed to make out the time from his wristwatch, he was shocked to find how late it had gotten.
You gotta go faster. Still miles to go, and we're running out of time.
I can barely see the road.
Follow me. I'll keep in sight so you can see which way the track goes.
The snow was falling more heavily, huge lumps of white that seemed to hang in the cold air between the tall pines. Ryan kept glancing back over his shoulder, constantly having to ease the patch over his left eye as water seeped behind it. He could hear the hooves clattering on the packed earth and the jingling of the harness. Knuckles calling out softly to encourage the tiring animals.
Come on, beauties. A few more steps and then it's sweet hay and good water. Warm stall and soft bedding. Come on, my beauties.
Capistrano was hunched alongside the young man on the seat, his face turned inward. He'd hardly spoken since Ellie's death. Doc heeled his stallion forward to pick its way delicately through the blanket of snow.
We shall make it with a good margin to spare, my dear Ryan. I have every confidence in your ability to succeed. You have never failed yet.
Long as Baron Nelson keeps his word.
You fear treachery? By the three Kennedys, I had not thought of that.
You look at any Baron and you see a man whose mind is locked into perpetual darkness. A man who would cheerfully slit the throat of his own mother if it helped him gain or hold power, Doc.
There has been too much slitting of throats, Ryan. Far too much.
Behind him, the Lords of Chaos had decided to enter the game. In the bed of the wag, Jennison had suddenly begun to scream virulent abuse at his half-brother.
You piss-drinking little sheep-fucker! You gotta save me! Let the rest die, John, but fucking save me!
JB ignored him, but Knuckles was startled.